We're going to do a kind of just take a pause from what we're going through in John, and we're going to look through Proverbs chapter 31 this morning, and Morgan's got it on the board for us. So you can take your time, take a minute and find it in your Bibles, and you can follow along. I want to read something on a devotional that is fitting, and believe it or not, I am far from perfect, as many of you know. My wife and I have struggles with our children and ourselves and with life in general, with work and everything, just like everybody does. And this was a very pertinent devotional that Charles Spurgeon wrote. So just follow along with me as I try to read it in the way that he writes it. And it's titled, "I Am With You Always," which is from Matthew 28:20. "It is well there is one who is ever the same, who is ever with us. It is well. There is one stable rock amidst the billows of the sea of life. O my soul, set not thy affections upon rusting, moth-eaten, decaying treasures, but set thy heart upon him who abides forever, faithful to thee. Build not thy house upon the moving quicksands of a deceitful world, but found thy hopes upon this rock, which amid descending rain and roaring flood shall stand immovably secure. My soul, I charge thee, lay up thy treasure in the only secure cabinet. Store your jewels where they can never be lost. Put thy all in Christ. Set all thy affections on his person, all thy hope in his merit, all thy trust in his efficacious blood, all thy joy in his presence. And so thou mayest laugh at loss and defy destruction. Remember that all the flowers in the world's garden fades by turns, and the day comes when nothing will be left but the black, cold earth. Death's black extinguisher must soon put out thy candle. Oh, how sweet to have sunlight when the candle is gone. The dark flood must soon roll between thee and all thou hast. Then when thy heart to him who will never leave thee, trust thyself with him who will go with thee through the black and surging current of death's stream, and who will land thee safely on the celestial shore and make thee sit with him in heavenly places forever. Go, sorrowing son of affliction, tell thy secrets to the friend who sticketh closer than a brother. Trust all thy concerns with him who never can be taken from thee, and who will never leave thee, and who will never let thee leave him. Even Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Lo, I am with you always, is enough for my soul to live upon. Let who will forsake me." So a good reminder this morning. So we'll just open up in a word of prayer, and we'll get started this morning. So just take a moment of silent prayer to examine the state of your soul. If there's anything standing between you and the throne of grace, now is the time that you can confess those sins. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in you this morning, and God to speak to you. Father, we thank you for our opportunity to come before you this morning. We just ask you that you give us the focus this morning to be able to store our treasures up in heaven, where nothing can destroy them, on a shelf that is so solid that nothing can shake it, on something that is so firm and so true that we know it'll never be lost. We thank you for the opportunity to come before you. We know that you're faithful. We know that you love us. We know that you have every plan and purpose for us figured out and in a direction for us that sometimes we may not understand, but it's something that you can come alongside us and guide us and show yourself to us and reveal yourself to us. That is how much you love us. So we just ask this morning that you give us that mindset of your truth, of your wisdom, as we're going to read this morning how important wisdom is and how much it means just to seek your face and turn to the things of you. And I just, as we look into Mother's Day today and the meaningful purpose of what a family is and a mother does for the household, we see such a beautiful example in a family and that you have led us to through your son being on the cross for us and dying for the entire world to just present the church before you holy and blameless. And what a wonderful picture that leaves us for what a what a healthy household looks like. And as a mother, as we're going to see, is such an important part of a healthy household. We thank you for all of our mothers who have brought us into this world, who have taught us, who have led us in ways into your word. And we want to be challenged as parents to be able to do that for our children and just to continue to seek your face. We just again want to pray for Eldred and Janelle that you may just come alongside them. We want the Sanka family just to feel your presence also. There's just so many sick, hurting people in this world that this world just has the grip of death because of sin. But we know that you've conquered sin, meaning you conquered death, and that we will not have to experience death. When we are absent from our earthly bodies, we stand face to face to you. There's no such thing as death. So we just pray that we can comfort those who are sick, who are nearing the time of that, and that we just may help them to be encouraged that they're going to see you soon. And we just ask this morning that you may join us in this study, that you may join us as we just seek after you this morning, and just allow me to just put all the distractions in my head aside. Allow me to be your vessel. Allow your spirit just to guide the words this morning, and just be able to convey them in a way that is as fruitful for all to hear. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So Proverbs 31, you've probably read that before or heard of it before. It ends up the book of Proverbs, which the book of Proverbs speaks so much of wisdom and just instruction and valuable things for our life. And to me, I like how it ends with a mother instructing wisdom and instructing things, because it takes the whole book and can wrap up everything that it said, and it puts so much presence then on the mother. So we can read it, and we're just gonna take a moment this morning just to kind of go through what this says, just as an encouragement to mothers. There's obviously, my mother has had a huge effect on my spiritual life, and that was because of what her mother did for her. And it steps down. My wife has an opportunity then to turn around to our children to be a mother, to be able to teach them things. And that's what you women are called to do, is to instruct children and to allow them to grow up in virtuous homes, if you will, by good examples, by leading what you do in the home and around, whether they're your nieces, your nephews, whatever they are. All you women have a very important responsibility when it comes to teaching children. So, and it says that. So chapter 31, verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. So here we're going to have this whole chapter is going to be set off of what his mother taught him. And when we look at taught, the original language is to bind, something that she is binding. And like I said, Proverbs is all about it. And Proverbs 3:3, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. So this is the same thing, that we are to bind that. And this is what as parents and as mothers, we are to do to our children and to those. And if there's those of you that do not have children, you still have a responsibility of the youth and the young kids that are growing up around you, that are in your peripheral. God still allowed you to be a mother figure and to be able to teach these kids. And we see that all throughout youth camps and things too, that it doesn't matter. There's always a kid that's in need, or there's always a kid that is in need of a mother figure. So we're to teach them to bind that kindness and truth around their neck. And where are they going to get that from is what they're going to see. And so the value, when we look at this, just understand that the value of a mother can never be underestimated. The value that a mother can have on the home. And that's what we're going to see. There's going to be a lot of things you're going to read in here, and you're going to be like, that's contrary to maybe what the world's perspective is, or this sounds like pro-woman power, and she has all the power over the home. No, the husband still has authority, but the wife, as you're going to see, or the mother in the home, is going to be the manager within that home, as we're going to pull out and see in the importance of all of that. So there, it's all playing a role as being evenly yoked together as a husband and wife on what this is going to do. So it's that teamwork that a relationship, that a marriage takes. And I know it's Mother's Day, but we're going to include the wives in it too, that's just part of it, because it just is a stair-step effect. So the words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him, What, O my son, and what, O my son of my womb, and what, O son of my vows? So what are vows? The promise to teach, right? Do not give your strength to women. So she's telling this to her son. Do not give your strength to women or your ways to that which destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to desire strong drink, for they will drink and forget what is decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. So her wisdom as a mother is saying the future will be harmed. You look at this and she's calling out. She goes, I know what the future will hold. I know what this perspective will be. That when you run around and you give all your strength playing the field of all the women, and then our ways to which destroy kings, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine. It's not for us to be in a fog all the time. It's not going to do us any good to be in the foggy mindset of life, missing the things. So the wisdom of this mother is telling her son to grow up in a respectable mannered way, to not be running around, carousing around, to not just living his life on a way that he wants to live it. But she's saying, if you want to have integrity, if you want to have character, if you want to live a life full of respect, don't be doing these things. Don't be living in that foggy mindset of what the world is going to throw at us, whether it be women, pleasure, whatever that you can throw in line with this stuff. She's saying, be aware of it. It's not going to get us to where you need to be. It's going to cause you harm. And you look at this because this mother has paid attention to life. And we're going to see this all throughout this chapter, that she is unselfish in everything that is written. That this wisdom that she has, she is unselfish. She puts others first. She cares about others. And so she's led her life paying attention to the harm that the world does. She cares enough about her child that she's saying, I've seen the world. I've seen the ugly things in the world, and I'm going to warn you about them because I know that it's only going to cause you harm and trouble down the road. So therefore, I'm going to call them out to you. Psalm 86 verse 11 says, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. And that is what she's passing along to her child, is teach me your ways. And so she's turning around, teaching the ways. So verse 6, give strong drink to him who is perishing. So this is written a while ago. Obviously, modern medicine has done many things. A lot of times alcohol was given as medicine would have been. But give strong drink to him who is perishing, wine to him whose life is bitter. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his trouble no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate, or the rights or the strife. People have strife. The unfortunate people have strife. We have strife in our life. Open your mouth. Judge righteously. Defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. So this is the mother speaking this to the child. The mother teaches clarity, the clear head, to stay away from those things. Just like we said, it's going to allow you to then make correct choices. Choices that will be dignified. You'll have dignity in the choices that we do. You will have the ability to rightly defend and serve others. If you're not walking around in a clouded mindset all the time, you're then going to be able to be helpful as God intends you to be. So this is the mother bringing her child up, teaching him as a king. How are you going to rule your people? So mothers, what are we teaching our children? Are we teaching them to be selfish? Are we teaching them of the value of the character of having dignity and integrity through life? Because of the way that the clouded world expects us to walk through just in a haze and a foggy mindset all the time, because that's what's normal to the world. This mother's saying not to do that. That it's contrary to what the world is. We're going to see it's contrary to the world. This ties in just what we've been talking with in John, that it's contrary to the world to be able to live that way. This mother is living contrary to the world. And that's a call to you mothers, and even I'll just throw into us fathers as well. That's a call to us to live contrary to the world. We're so fast to judge all the kids and say that there's such a problem, and we see that there's a problem, but it's a direct result of the parenting at home. If this mother wouldn't be concerned about the future of her child, she's going to let him run around and do whatever he wants to do. She's going to think it's harmless. Well, he's going to make his own mistakes, let him live in his own shoes. She's going to walk away and not help raise that child to have good character and integrity, which then is going to result in that child having nothing but a harmful future. So, verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. Virtuous. Character is what excellent means. So a virtuous wife, who can find? That shows us that it is contrary to what the world says is normal. Because she's saying it's going to be hard to find. It's going to be hard to find a woman like that. Therefore, mothers, we need to be raising our children that way. To be able to say, how do we find a virtuous wife? Because the world says that it's not normal. You're not going to find them that way. They should be, as we're going to see, being selfish, doing all their own things, worrying about themselves, doing their own pleasures, doing everything that they want to do with no care of anybody else. Don't we want to live for ourselves in this world? Isn't that what the world teaches us? That we deserve everything of ourselves? That we deserve happiness? That we deserve the best of the best? That we deserve to be spoiled? That we deserve to have all these nice things? And that we deserve to have all the pleasures and the comforts and all of this stuff in the world? That's what the world teaches us. But if we do that, all that does is put us as the focus. That then we are the king of this world. This mother goes, we are not. And she's going to end with saying, but a woman who fears the Lord, she will be praised. So if we're not fearful of the Lord and we're not living in light of the Lord being the king, we then put ourselves as king in this world. And the mom says, or this is saying, that's going to be wrong. That's going to be hard to do. So an excellent woman, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband, trust in her. Original language of trust is the safety and security that is felt when one can rely on one. So the husband looks at the wife and knows, I can rely on you. That what you do, I trust you. I rely on you. This is a partner. It's this team thing. So the heart of her husband trusts in her. He will have no lack of gain. He is even blessed by her, a virtuous woman. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. What did John 15:13 tell us when we went through that? Greater love has no man than this, when one lays down his life for his friends. That's what this woman is doing. This woman of virtue is doing. She's putting herself aside. And the thing is, as we do this, and it looks like the woman's going aside, a woman is going to be the direct response of what the male in the home is going to be. So if the male in the home isn't allowing this, or is a chauvinistic male that wants power and wants to be abusive or wants to do whatever to his wife, the wife is either going to split away and go do her own thing. She's not going to submit. Submission takes, in our language, in our world today, submission makes it feel like you're a slave at home being whipped, and that is wrong. Submission is a twofold thing in marriage. It's two people bound together that are working together as a team, and that's what happens here. The husband is going to look at this and say, this woman of mine is more precious than jewels. Nobody can find anything like this because it's contrary to the world. So therefore, he's going to have respect for her. He's going to treat her with respect. He's going to have integrity with his wife. He's going to have dignity with his wife. They're going to work together in this household together. She looks for wool in verse 13 and flax, and her works with her hand and works with her hands in delight. So she's looking. She's always looking. It's like a mama bear is always on guard. When Hallie takes her girls out, she's not walking through the parking lot staring at her phone. She's always looking around. Focus is on protection, on the girls. What's coming at me? What is there here? What are my girls going to see? What are they not going to see? What do I need to protect them from when the TV's on and a commercial comes on? What am I looking at? Are we looking, or is the woman, my wife, so self-focused on a phone or whatever it is that she doesn't care about what the kids are doing? And today's society makes that very normal, just to stare at a phone all the time. And how much can I ingrain myself in social media? How much of my time am I doing that? When I'm ingrained in that, I'm being selfish. So she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She works. She does the hard things. It takes work to do this. It takes work to stay off the social media. It takes work to invest in your family. We're going to look at investment a couple different times. That is what the mother of a house is doing. That is what the mother does, is invest in their child. So then that takes work. And I can only watch what I put my mother through that it took work. I can watch what she does for our child and it takes work. But it takes work to do the hard things. But then you can look down and it's no different than my mother. The work that her mother put into her was valuable for how many generations to come. Now my children have a great grandma that they can go to and they can talk Jesus with their great grandmother because of the value that she saw, foresaw it, to seeing that it was a valuable thing to be able to pass down and teach these things. So verse 14, she is like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. A mother uses her resources wisely. The things that she's given wisely. She rises also while it is still night, and she gives food to her household. Household's used four times. So we're going to remember household. She understands the importance of a solid home life. That's important in a family. Chaotic homes are not good. We see chaotic homes all the time with our kids at youth group. Chaotic homes are hard. A child needs to be able to walk into a home and feel loved, feel comfort, safety, peace, and quiet sometimes. Shut the world off. Shut their brains off. Allow them to be part of the family. Allow them to be part of the house. Allow them to enjoy one another with their siblings instead of screen time, screen time. Because all screen time does is get your brain amplified up. And it teaches, I'm okay as long as I have this in front of me and nothing else in the world matters. I'm selfishly just staring at my screen all the time. So the household, when we look at that four times, so it shows the attention that the woman is putting on the family needs. What is the picture of the family? We know that it's the church, right? So this wife, this virtuous wife that it's laying out right here, basically it's giving the characteristics of a virtuous wife or a mother. And it's saying, what is she doing? She's holding the family together. What is the picture of this? This is Christ with the church. It's no different. So she's turning that into her house. She raises while it's still night, gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. She's a mindful thinker. Can you be a mindful thinker when all you're doing is staring at your phone? She considers a field and buys it. For her earnings, she plants a vineyard. What is she doing? She's reinvesting. It's hard, right? Reinvestment's hard because you have what you have and you want to keep it and you just want to spend it or do whatever you want to do. Our children are that way too. We just want to spoil them rotten. We just want to give them a better life than what we had. Even though ours wasn't bad, we want to give them a better life than what we had. We think ours was bad at times, but we look back and it wasn't. But we want a better life for our kids, so we're going to give them everything. Well, that's not reinvesting anything good in your children. It's hard, remember? It takes work to do that. She grinds herself with strength. Exodus 15:2. Where does our strength come from? Her strength comes from the Lord. That's where our strength comes from. She grinds herself with strength and makes her arm strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. This one just came to me. Mothers are always available. Right? What happens when your kids come in the room in the middle of the night? Who they ask for? Not dad. It's usually mom. So her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. Here she is investing and other people. By being busy, we look at that as all that she's doing there. It's busy work. Using her gained resources to help and bless others. That's what a virtuous woman does. She's using the resources she's creating within the home or outside the home, because you're not contained by four walls in a home. She's taking these resources and she's reinvesting them in other people. So often we're blessed by that. I look at what my wife does, I look at what my mother does, and it's a trickle down of me just being blessed by what they're doing from their selfish or selflessness. It turns around and it blesses other people. She is not afraid, in verse 21, of the snow for her household. Why? Because she can rest in her preparedness. She prepared for the winter. She prepared for the things. She's got the house prepared for the things to come. She's thinking of her family. See what this is all doing, this virtuous woman being a mother? How much this is pushing on the preparation of what the mother does in a house? That it's just not, so often we think, I'm the man of the house and I do everything in this house works because of me. No, it doesn't. My house would run probably just fine without me. You take my wife out of my house, it's going to be a mess. That's because my wife is prepared. Mothers are prepared. It's a God-given thing that he gave to mothers. Jesus, the Son of God, came from a mother. Mary, come from a woman, turned her into a mother. For a purpose. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is in fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. How could she smile at the future? And the whole man standing in the front of the gate is, she's not trashing her husband. He's doing his thing. She is up beside him supporting him. He is known by the elders, by the gates of the community, because the way that the wife props him up. He is able to focus on, it's actually speaking, he is able to focus on his spiritual journey and his spiritual mission because the wife is there propping him up, taking care of the things that his spiritual life won't allow the time for him to get done physically on earth. So who's picking the slack up? The wife is. She's picking the pieces up. She's keeping the home together. She's keeping the kids on track. Not saying the dad doesn't have a part in that, but that's the purpose that she's playing. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at her future because she knows what she's investing in these kids is going to be good. She knows that what she's investing in her child that's a king will be good for the people around her, which will then be good for the community, will be good for our county, will be good for our state, will be good for our nation. It all starts in the home. It's that ripple effect that this mother knows, I have done right. I have taught my child the ways of the Lord to be a man of integrity, to have good character, to be compassionate for others, to help others, to not be selfish. Because growing up, we look at our parents, right? We learn from them. So often we're a prodigy of what our parents are. Yelling, screaming, kicking, doing whatever they do when something goes wrong. What do you think we're going to do when something goes wrong? I'm going to learn it from how my parents did. But this woman, she says, she smiles at the future because she knows that she did everything that she could do to raise her child up correctly. She opens her mouth in wisdom. She thinks before she speaks. Good things come out. Wise things come out. Valuable things come out. So often we just speak whatever it is and it just blurts out. And it's not anything of wisdom. It's not of anything of value for anyone at all. But a virtuous woman, a virtuous mother, a virtuous wife thinks before she speaks. And the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She says things that are worth saying. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossipers, not enslaved to too much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young woman to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. That doesn't mean that everybody's got to be an at-home mom, because everything done outside the home complements what is done inside the home. You can take that you do inside the home, and you can go out. You don't have to be on Facebook, on your phone, typing all the gossip things and joining into all the savvy gossip clicky groups. You can take what you learn in your home and how you run your home, and you can take that outside your home. But remember what we're learning in John, the world's going to think that's crazy and goofy, right? Because it's contrary to what the world thinks when you go out of your home and you turn that into the world. But that's what it's saying. Workers at home, being kind, subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Have we ever thought that how we live our life either honors God or dishonors God? Because of what we say, because of what we act like, because of who we gossip about, because of who we malign, because of who we lie to, because of who we try to be like, because of who we try to impress. We're either honoring or dishonoring. So these are the things that this mother is teaching the child. She is saying things that are worth saying, because the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household. She watches over the activities of her household. She doesn't allow herself to be bored, as it says, and does not eat the bread of idleness. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. At the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossip and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Therefore, I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. That's talking about young widows and old widows when they're giving the organization of what should happen throughout the church. But the point here is to give the enemy no occasion for reproach. So idle hands do what? That's why you're going through this woman of virtue is doing what? She's doing valuable things for her household. She's doing things that matter. She's putting herself aside. And she's doing things that are good for her home, because idle hands will do what? Why do you think divorce is what it is? You look at the divorce rate of what it is. I hate Facebook, so I'm going to pick on it because I hate it. The divorce rate has skyrocketed since Facebook. Why? Idle hands. I don't like my husband today, or I'm bored today, husband or wife. Could sit here and scroll. Oh, here's this chick from high school. I dated her. She was pretty hot. I can remember the good things about her. I should contact her and see what she says. How you doing? What's new in your life? What door of opportunity just got opened up? Because of idleness. This woman doesn't let the enemy come in. Facebook, I'm sorry. There's good things about it, like everything, but there's super bad things about it too. It gives a contact to everybody in your life, good or bad. The enemy will tempt you to, oh, that person's name popped up. I haven't talked to them for years. Well, what direction is this going to go? It may start innocent, but where does it lead to? A foothold for the enemy. Because then all of a sudden the enemy will use your spouse to start annoy you. They're going to start they're just always a pain. They're always finicky. They're always nagging. They're always this. They're always that. Well, this person wasn't. Well, you broke up with them in high school for a reason. So evidently they were. So idle hands can get us in trouble. So this virtuous woman, she's not being a slave. She's not slave labor. What she's doing is she's keeping herself busy for the valuable things of raising her family and raising her home, because it allows her husband then to remember to look at her in a trustful security feeling that he can trust her in what she does, because they're on the same team for doing what? Glorifying God in their home by what they're doing with their children? So she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Value is her reward. What does her husband and her children say to her? They bless her. They praise her. What do words do? What do actions do for our spouses? A lot. We know that. We like certain things that our spouse says or does, or actions that they do. It could just be a pat on the back, a rub on the shoulder as they're walking by. But it lets them know that you're connected. It lets them know that you are precious, that they praise you. So this virtuous woman, putting all of this stuff aside, turns around and you say, man, that sounds like hard work. But what does it do? Her reward is the blessing of her children, the praises of her husband, that people look at and say, what a beautiful woman. What awesome integrity and character you have. Your children are going to look at their mothers and be like, wow, she's not nagging at my dad all the time. They're not fighting all the time. They're not sitting each ends of the house staring at their phones all the time. They're together as a family. Maybe that's what a relationship looks like. Maybe that is what I should do in my relationship then when I grow up. Maybe I should look for a woman. Remember what she said in the beginning? Do not give your strength to women. So maybe that means I should be looking for a woman. If I'm not married, obviously. I'm not looking for a woman. We'll get that out there. No worries. But as you young men that ain't married, what are your women in your life? Girls that aren't married, what type of woman are you being? Are you being somebody that a boy can look for, that can stand out in the world? Men, are you being somebody different that stands out in the world? So her reward is they value her and they see her as worthy. They see her as a daughter of a king. I always say that my wife is a princess. A daughter of a king is what? A princess, right? Do I treat her that way? Do I value her that way? If she truly was a princess, like from a king, and I was disrespectful to her, I was mean to her, rude to her, unfaithful to her, whatever, how long do you think I would last? The king's men would probably say, off with his head. Do I value my wife to be able to treat her in a way like that? Because what is she in turn going to do? She is a direct picture of how I treat her. She is a direct mother to our children on how I handle her. That's submission. So if I'm a jerk, I'm a blowhard, how's she going to be to me? How's she going to be to my children? She's going to puke out whatever I give her. And it's not going to be virtuous. So therefore, I am affecting my wife's character and integrity. I am taking a daughter of a king that God has intended to be a virtuous woman, and I'm causing her to stumble. It's a big thing. Think about it before you get married, men. It takes a lot of leadership. It takes a lot of dying to yourself, setting yourself aside. Because we just read what the characteristics of a good woman is. You have to lead her to allow her to be that way. Charm, in verse 30, is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. Verse 16, sorry. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. Our outer man is decaying. My grandma is a crack up. She's 90 years old. She says, I'm a 90-year-old woman, or I'm a, how does she say it? I'm a 20-year-old woman trapped in a 90-year-old body. To her, she's not 90 years old. Her body is decaying, but her attitude is still contagious. Though she looks in the mirror and she says she scares herself because she don't know who's looking back at her in the mirror. We don't stay looking like this forever. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. It's the renewing of our mind and our hearts and our soul. That's where the beauty comes from. That is who God intended you to be. That is what you will see that God intended you to be. Being renewed day by day for momentary light affliction. You just as well, for momentary light affliction, scratch that out and write life. Is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, because we see the mirror. We see the 90-year-old woman in the mirror. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Her appearance is never mentioned in this whole 31 verses. Where does the beauty come from? It's her character. A God-fearing woman is one who knows how to grab heaven and apply it to earth. So life becomes better for everyone under her influence. That's a picture of Jesus. It's grab heaven and apply it to earth. That's what good mothers do. So praise the godly woman in your life. Offering praise is like watering a flower. It allows its buds to open up. So praise the godly woman in your life and watch them blossom. Father, we just thank you for our mothers. We thank you for so many of us that can sit here and just be thankful for the way that we were raised. We can take constructive criticism. We can take your teachings and your words and we can see value in them. And I just encourage all of us as parents to be able to just see either the harm or the good that we're going to create in our children's life. It wasn't their choice to be born. We chose to bring them into this world. So I pray that you allow us just to set ourselves aside when we're raising our children, when we're taking care of our spouse, whether it's a husband or a wife. We just pray as mothers that they can just see the value that they are. You've given us men, women in our lives to see how insignificantly weak we are and how strong a woman can be. So we just thank you for just always your faithfulness. We thank you for your provisions. We look forward to all those little ones downstairs that have these mothers that care about them, what they're going to turn out to be. How exciting is that to see all the little ones downstairs that are building upon their foundations of your truth and being able to go home and see that truth being portrayed in their mom. We're excited to see the work that will be accomplished through them little hands. We love you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.